Have you ever noticed how two people can walk through the exact same storm and one comes out bitter, while the other somehow comes out brighter, softer, more grounded in hope? What if the difference isn't personality or luck, but gratitude? Not the shallow, everything happens for a reason kind of positivity, but a deep, honest posture that says, this hurts, and God is still here. I'm still breathing, there is still grace in this moment. Both scripture and science are telling us the same surprising thing. That kind of gratitude can literally change the brain, the body, and the trajectory of our healing. In a world wired for anxiety, outrage, and comparison, what if gratitude isn't just good manners, but medicine for the mind, body, and spirit?
Today's episode of Vital Voices is brought to you by Oak Tree Medical Center and Wellspring Lifestyle Group.
Vital Voices.
Welcome to Vital Voices, the podcast where we amplify the stories, insights, and expertise of the people shaping the future of our communities, our conversations, and our country. I'm your host, Alexis Burrows. Thank you for joining us. Today, we're talking about something we've all heard about, but maybe haven't fully understood, gratitude. Not just as a thank you, not just as a good habit, but as a Christian discipline and an evidence-based tool that can transform our mental and physical health. Our episode is called The Science and Spirituality of Gratitude. Joining me is Dr. Paige Burrows, physician turned certified lifestyle medicine educator, health and wellness coach, founder of Wellspring Lifestyle Group, and a powerful advocate for whole person health. In this conversation, we're going to explore what scientific minds are discovering about gratitude and its impact on the brain, the heart, the immune system, and more. How Christian gratitude lines up with what the research is telling us, and practical, realistic ways to weave gratitude into a busy life, even when you're exhausted, overwhelmed, or walking through real suffering. So no, this is not just a Thanksgiving special episode. This is a deep dive on the science and spirituality of gratitude. So if you've ever wondered, how do I give thanks when life is hard? Or is gratitude really doing anything for my health? This episode is for you. Welcome back to the show.
So happy to be back. This is the third time.
Well, if you count couples and purpose, this is like the sixth time.
Oh.
Or the seventh time.
Never mind. Let's not count. Let's not count anymore.
You're getting up there. You're quite the regular now.
I'm a regular now. I won't count anymore.
Yeah. I think we're past counting. So this is obviously to some degree inspired by the fact that we are in November. When this episode comes out, we'll be in the week of Thanksgiving. Not necessarily the biggest holiday Bahamian-wise, but it is a concept that a lot of people have picked up on and try to incorporate into, you know, to their life to some degree. For us here, a lot of times it just means getting, you know, a Thanksgiving plate or four. but it did bring about an interesting conversation about gratitude. And where gratitude fits in our health journey, both from a scientific perspective as well as from the perspective of what the Bible says about it, you know, a spiritual perspective. So we are excited to have you on the show to talk us through this. Obviously, you come to the show with those two things as a part of your approach, right?
Yes.
You are scientist and also believer, and you weave those things together as you practice and as you operate, right?
Yes, yes. Here we invite God into our wellness journeys here. We have that interaction that intersection between faith and science and healing and wholeness, and we try to tackle it all. That is what we do.
Awesome. So let's dive right into our questions. When you think about gratitude in your own life, what story comes to mind first? Like, was there a moment in your healing journey where gratitude became more than a nice idea, but turned into more of a lifeline, so to speak?
So I would say I was aware of the concept of gratitude as a Christian, right? Like growing up in church, you hear give thanks, there are songs of thanks, right?
Right.
And so it's not like you have a problem with it, but you're not thinking like, I need to intentionally practice gratitude. So at some point along my journey, I was studying for American College of Lifestyle Medicine exams, mm-hmm. right? And I'm coming across this section on positive psychology, and I'm like, positive psychology. Sounds interesting.
You know, typically,
you know, psychology is more of a pathology thing. But this is interesting. Let me read. And so they started to discuss topics of human flourishing and wellness. And I mean, this is why I'm at the American College of Lifestyle Medicine, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm learning about these things, and I come across the importance in our wellness of experiencing things like awe and gratitude. And this is a secular organization, mm-hmm. so I'm intrigued, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I say, I'm like, okay, so they want us to practice gratitude. So I'm going in the other literature, like outside of just my manual for the exams,
mm-hmm.
but like going into other literature. And I'm like, this is legitimately a thing. Like, people have been studying this for a while,
mm-hmm.
and they have built gratitude practices that are evidence-based, that are proven by randomized clinical trials,
mm-hmm.
and like, they are amazing.
Full scientific exploration.
Full scientific exploration. And so, of course, my interest is piqued because this is my area, mm-hmm. right? And yeah, it changed my life. I was able to go ahead and start my own gratitude practice. I started it in the form of journaling initially, and then as I continued to study a little deeper, a little further into the science of gratitude, I learned that I could be doing so much more.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, let's look at the science of gratitude in a bit more detail.
Okay.
You know, as we mentioned in the introduction, you are a certified lifestyle medicine educator. So, like you said, the ACLM, you're coming at it from that scientific bent as a part of how you approach this. So what does scientific research say about gratitude? Like, what is the research telling us? And what does it tell us about the effects of gratitude, like on mental health, things like depression, anxiety, resilience? What is it saying?
Well, let's start at like gratitude as a concept, right?
Okay.
It's really a state of thankfulness, a real readiness to give kindness to others,
mm-hmm.
and so this is kind of simple, right? But then we get elevated to what I like to say is like my little definition of a gratitude practice, where it's a spiritual discipline that involves a perpetual state of genuinely expressed thankfulness, okay, that is healing to the body, soul, and the spirit. So in this way, you could look at just saying thank you,
mm-hmm.
but differentiate it from a gratitude practice,
mm-hmm.
which is what we're going to talk about in terms of the science, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like the concept of gratitude being good for us, mm-hmm. like holistically good for us, is a common theme in ancient religious and philosophical texts. It's something that you're going to find in every religious and philosophical text that are trying to improve human beings, right. wellness in general.
So what you're saying is this is our not
quality
new.
Of life. It's not new. It's mm-hmm. not new, right? But in the 1950s and 60s, like, people started writing more about it. And then fast forward to the early 2000s, you have, shout out to the Templeton Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
They go ahead and they're sponsoring major research with UC Berkeley's Greater Good Science Center. And they are doing massive studies
mm-hmm.
on the impact of gratitude, the science and the spirituality. And they find out pretty amazing things that a regular gratitude practice can cause you to be more happy, to have better sleep, reduce stress, increase resilience. There's just so much psychological and social benefits to discuss. There are like direct neurological effects, mm. effects on our behaviors and our motivations. And then, of course, our overall physical health. These are measurable changes.
Okay. So let's jump to the physical health part of it, right? Because, you know, people listening to this might be surprised to hear that something as, you know, spiritual, because we think about gratitude a lot of times, you know, in that spiritual bent, but something as spiritual as gratitude can also impact our physical body, our physical health. So what are some of the ways, because you started to allude to it a little bit, but what are some of the ways specifically that gratitude has been shown to affect our physical body, whether that be our sleep, you know, heart health, all these different things? Where does gratitude play in terms of our physical, the physical impact?
Right. So this is one of my favorite things to study. I'm just gonna let you guys know. So it could get like a touch nerdy. It could get a touch nerdy, but this is one of the areas that I love it personally. One of the first areas that I want to talk about gratitude impacting is our cardiovascular system. Okay. That's our heart and our blood vessels, and also our autonomic nervous system. And so this, the way that gratitude has been shown to impact directly, practices of gratitude has been shown to directly improve heart rate variability. And that's going to improve your cardiovascular fitness. Okay. You also have where it impacts your autonomic nervous system by calming you down. We're going to enhance our parasympathetic nervous system. I've talked about that before. That's our system for rest and digest, for healing, for calmness, a state that we can repair in.
Right.
Okay. Versus that fight or flight system, which has its purpose for sure. Like, you don't want to be in a state of stress, have a deadline, have to be running from.
And just be like, I resting and digesting.
No. We don't have time for it then. But we want to employ the correct system
at the right time.
And we don't want to have just one on all the time and the other one off, right? So when we talk about going ahead and allowing us to experience a sense of calm, going ahead and allowing us to have improve lowered heart resting heart rates, improve heart rate variability, you know, we're able to respond and recover better physically, as well as from like physical and emotional stress or psychological stress. We're also talking about having better sleep, which we know is going to improve a variety of health conditions. I've talked about that on the pod a couple of times. We're going to have less fatigue and better daytime functioning. I don't know who could use that.
I think we all can.
Most of us can use that. And so, you know, when you're looking at these benefits, how do we translate these big words into what it's going to do for us in our daily lives, right? So cardiovascular health, heart health, that's going to impact things like your heart rate. Yes. But your blood pressure, we can lower blood pressure. That's kind of a big deal. We can respond better to stress. That's a big deal. Okay. So let's move on to other markers that also could impact cardiovascular conditions. All right. Like our immune and inflammatory systems, right?
Well, so, I knew inflammation was coming.
Right. Right. So when it comes to immunity, this is kind of like one of the areas I thought were really cool, because even though they were able to do things like measure blood pressure in response to gratitude practices in various situations, being able to go in there and take blood samples and check, you know, markers of immunity, inflammatory markers, loved it. Okay. And I more loved what they found. So a couple of studies were done. I like this one in particular that checked a group of women. Women were like the ages of 35 to 50. Checked them for 6 weeks. They gave them a writing style gratitude intervention.
Okay.
And these women were actually giving support. Like, they were showing and expressing their gratitude. But this was in the form of giving support to others, right? And when they went ahead and checked their blood parameters, they actually had lower factors of, well, what we would call lower inflammatory markers in their blood. So these are things like interleukin 6, tumor necrosis factor, alpha, and CRP. Okay. And that's a big deal, because a lot of these are really, really elevated in pro-inflammatory, pro-disease states. Okay. And for many of us, we suffer from autoimmune conditions.
Right.
We suffer from chronic pain that has to do with chronic inflammation, gut issues that have to do with chronic inflammation. Things like cancers can be developed out of states of dysregulated immunity and chronic inflammation. And so to think that simply having a gratitude practice can actually lower the risk of these things, improve our inflammatory markers, improve our, boost our immunity.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty wild.
It's kind of crazy to think about this, okay? And so we have evidence of reducing pro-inflammatory cytokines,
mm-hmm.
okay? So we got blood pressure going down. We got
inflammatory markers going down.
Mm-hmm. We have, let's go back to blood pressure and heart rate going down, inflammatory markers going down. Sleep is improving, okay?
That's pretty cool.
Now, just going into the brain, a little bit further into the brain, mm-hmm. okay? Because we were just talking about immunity and inflammation. Let's talk about the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So there are several places in the brain that gratitude directly impacts. I'm not going to go through every single last one of them,
mm-hmm.
but I love the fact that there are functional fMRI studies that have been done to show that feelings of gratitude, right, activates regions in the brain that are directly responsible for social cognition, like understanding mm-hmm. different social situations, emotional regulation and emotional resilience, things like improving our pro-social behaviors, such as things like gratitude and expressing kindness. So like really and truly, when you have a gratitude practice, you genuinely become like a better person for the world. Not just like your internal world,
mm-hmm.
but
the world.
You're a better person in the world, mm-hmm. in general. Okay. And so,
because you're pro-social instead of anti-social. You're
pro-social instead of anti-social. Okay. So parts of the brain that are involved in this would be parts such as like the medial prefrontal cortex and the anterior cingulate cortex. So these are real, genuine spaces
mm-hmm.
in the brain that you can see
mm-hmm.
are activated, that move us towards the things that we need to do with our lives,
right,
to heal, to become better people, to function better in society.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So another one that I thought was great was gratitude altering the amygdala activity. Now, the amygdala is a section of the brain that is responsible for fear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's lighting up. There is a threat,
mm-hmm.
and you are feeling scared.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a host of physiological responses to being
scared,
terrified.
Yeah. This is where right. your fight or flight kicks in, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Like you're going to have that racing heart rate. You're going to increase your blood pressure. Mm-hmm. Your muscles are going to tighten and tense, preparing to fight or freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so do we want this just this amygdala activated all the time?
No.
Perceiving threats all the time.
No.
Okay, so when we go ahead and have a gratitude practice, we can calm this area. We can literally calm this area of the brain and have the physiological impacts of having reduced activity in that area. Especially when we express the gratitude, like not just the writing form
mm-hmm.
for the amygdala regulation, but literally doing something,
right.
like physically doing something like an act of generosity or service
mm-hmm.
from a place of gratitude.
Right.
Right.
Okay. All right. I think it's a pretty thorough examination of the scientific side of it.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI at Top of the Hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram Movement continues. Call us today at 242-321-145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Gentlemen, It's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, top of the hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring, compassionate, complete.
Discover the ultimate in personalized healthcare with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 242-8164-OPP, 4667, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus, where your health comes first.
Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
Let's flip over and let's get into, you know, the spiritual component, the spiritual foundations of gratitude as a Christian discipline, right? Because like I said, when most people hear the word gratitude, they do think of it from that biblical perspective, that Christian perspective. Like, you know, my singing isn't the best, but I give thanks with a grateful heart, right? They think about a lot of these songs and this concept. So, you know, the Bible tells us to give thanks in all circumstances, which in and of itself for a lot of people, it's just difficult to wrap their head around, right? Because that all is like all caps,
yeah, that's
bold, underlined, italicized, all, right? And going back to your some of your conversation at the beginning, you know, positive psychology talks about gratitude lists, gratitude letters. But being a Christian and a scientist, how do you see these two worlds, which is, you know, Bible-based and an evidence-based psychology, overlapping when it comes to gratitude?
Okay, so the thing is, there is no separation between, and this is like a foundation for, you know, especially the expansive form of lifestyle medicine, where there's a lot of research being done into meaning, purpose, and spirituality, and hoping that there becomes a seventh pillar. There's no separation of the body, soul, and spirit, right? So like anyone who studies the soul or studies psychology, psychiatry, they're going to know what there is no denying this, that there are things that happen in our psyche that will directly impact our physiology, measurable physiology, and vice versa, right? Things that happen to our bodies directly impacts our minds, our souls, which is our mind, will, and emotions. And so of course that's going to impact our spirit, right? The part of us that talks to God. And so the design for us is that we always approach our illness as well as the maintenance of our wellness, right? With the idea that the three are one. Because separating it will cause you to miss a piece of the picture.
Right.
It'll cause you to miss a piece of the puzzle, and you will miss the benefits, or you will, or the detriment of your behaviors or thoughts will escape you because you don't see the three as one.
Right.
And so one of the scriptures that I guess we all will know, a lot of us will be familiar with, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, right? Where the Bible tells us to give thanks in all circumstances, as you said, but this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, when you come across a piece of the Bible, a piece of the Bible that says, this is the will of God for you, you need to stop on that.
Yeah. See, because sometimes we either only discuss the first part of it, or we only hear the first part of it, right? Which is the give thanks in all circumstances. But it is really critical to think about it being, this is the will of God for you. Because now this is not just this, it's not like, hey, yeah, go give thanks and all that. It's like, no, this is what God desires us and wills us to do.
Right. And if God says, I really want you to do this, mm-hmm. like this is my will that you do this, mm-hmm. you better believe that every time I have researched something that was the will of God for us, mm-hmm. it had there was evidence
yeah.
that like, it impacted the body, the soul, and of course the Bible. We already agree that mm-hmm. if it's in the Bible, it's going to impact us spiritually, right? So that's not where we're going to disagree. But it impacts the body and the soul to a great degree. So we're supposed to take these as instructive and not suggestive or figurative, you know? And other people did. Like, they took it literally. Mm-hmm. And they found a lot of things. In fact, I think there's over like 100 studies on grad duty a year now.
Oh, wow.
That's how...
I guess because you're starting to see... People are starting to be able to properly quantify the benefits, right?
Right.
Because I know you talked about it early on about like these are proper studies where you're taking into consideration like statistical significance. You're taking into consideration all of the things that make your study valid. These are right. valid studies that are being done. This is not just fly by night. I wanted to say what I wanted to say kind of studies.
Right. Right. And so when you look at that, you're going to have to, you know, do a little bit of inquiry and say, you know, I wouldn't say you have to go as far as researching it as I do, but I try to help people build things like gratitude practices.
That's why
right?
we have you on the show, because you've done the research, you've looked into
I do
the
it
information,
for you,
right?
You see? Mm-hmm. But you have to understand that it's a non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. if you find yourself, you're in a state, you are feeling down, mm-hmm. you are feeling depressed, anxious, mm-hmm. or you just got a diagnosis.
Right.
That you're not feeling that diagnosis right mm-hmm. now. You are praying for healing, or you want improvement. This is going to be something that you want to add.
Yeah, because that's the thing. I think that's an important question, right? Like for many people, the hardest time to be grateful is in seasons of pain or loss or feeling like you're in a season of unanswered prayer. So I think that's a good point for you to kind of hone in on, like from both your clinical background and I guess even your own faith journey. You know, how do you talk to people about practicing gratitude when life genuinely hurts?
Right. So this is where I think for some that are really, really going through it, like you're in your dark, you're in your evil day, mm-hmm. as they call it. Mm-hmm. Right. You're going through your Job experience. You're suffering. Mm-hmm. Right. Especially if you isolate it. Mm-hmm. You're suffering in isolation. Especially if you suffer in isolation and provision is low. Mm-hmm. This is a bad situation.
Yeah.
Right? Let's be real. I'm not going to say, Lord, I thank you that I have nothing. Mm. I thank you that I'm sick and lonely. Like, let's be real. No. And then like woo-woo it up and think yeah. that that's, you're going to,
like, we have,
you're going to cheerlead have... yourself into, that's not what we're talking about.
We have confetti and balloons.
That's not at all what we're saying. We're saying that you acknowledge. See, a big part of the gratitude practice, when we get into the part about building the practice, mm-hmm. a big part of the gratitude practice is authenticity. Mm-hmm. So if your soul is hurting, if your soul is burdened mm-hmm. and weary, if you are in pain, you could exist in that, in the gratitude practice. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what I'm saying to you is that the gratitude practice in itself, it just has to be authentic, which means that as a Christian, you have the benefit of being able to have gratitude for something outside of yourself, mm-hmm. outside of your own personal seeing reality. Okay, you could reach outside of yourself, take hold of a story such as a salvation story. Mm-hmm. You can grab hold of a narrative like that. You can grab hold of that story and give thanks for that. You can look in the Bible and see a parallel, a situation that's just like yours. Mm-hmm. Right? And you can see the way that God brought that character, through. That person, that individual through. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can look across the aisle for someone who's had your diagnosis mm-hmm. and is healed. For somebody who has been rock bottom, like homeless, broke, mm-hmm. destitute, and now they give millions of dollars away. You know, you can look at a situation where someone was lonely, you know, completely lonely. They had no one in their life. Their mother, their father, their brother, their sister left them. Their spouse cheat on them, and you know, and this person is now on the other side.
Yeah.
You can hear their testimony and genuinely connect with it.
Yeah.
And experience gratitude for something that has nothing to do with you directly.
Right.
Indirectly.
Right.
Okay. So we're not saying like pretend to be happy that you are toe up and about to crash out.
In the evil
like, day. Right. What I'm saying is to acknowledge that with authenticity and then find something, grab onto something you truly believe in.
Mm-hmm. Hold on tight and don't let go.
Hold on tight to that so that you can experience the God-given, the benefits that God wanted you to have in your life.
Yeah. You know, you also often talk about identity in Christ and purpose. How does a lifestyle of gratitude reinforce, you know, our identity in Christ and help protect our minds from things like hopelessness and comparison and shame, or, you know, remembering that like comparison is the thief of joy, things like that. So how does that lifestyle reinforce our identity in Christ?
Okay, you're going to force me to go into a little more science.
Go right. I mean, this is what we're here for. It's the science and the spirituality. Let's do it.
Right. So we talked about like cardiovascular benefits, right? We talked about sleep. And now we could get into the soul a little bit more. Because gratitude practices have been known to improve symptoms of anxiety and depression as well. Right. And generally speaking, give you senses of calm, which I would like to say we can interpret as peace. There's nothing going on in your mind.
Right.
Your heart rate is slowed. You know what I mean? You're in a state, a physiological state and a mental state of peace, right? And so showing that proof that God understands how he made us. So when it is that we go ahead and do this gratitude practice, even though we're suffering, right? Even though we're going through it, you're still going to have that release of the serotonin, of the dopamine and the oxytocin. The dopamine is that neuromodulating pathway is going to go ahead and help you with your rewards and your motivation. So like, let's say you're suffering, but there's something you can do. Well, looky, you activated your dopamine, right? Let's say your mood is low. You need more patience. You need more pro-social behaviors. You could actually go there and connect with somebody and feel less lonely, feel less isolated. You're not motivated to do that when your brain is in a certain state. But when you practice it, when you just obey and do it anyway, okay? When you just obey and do it anyway, you're going to release that serotonin. You're also going to release that oxytocin, that love, that connectivity, that bonding, that trust. That's going to happen. That's going to release within you. And you're going to go ahead now and start to even feel feelings, more feelings of gratitude, right? And generosity. Let's say you have something to give. You might even just give a word to someone in the middle of your own struggle because of how grateful you are. And in that way, gratitude becomes something that we can exchange. Okay? Studies have even been shown that, you know, one of the most physiologically impactful things is to receive gratitude. So if I want to really give Alexis a gift today, I could express genuine thanks.
Right.
For every time you've been there for me. You know? Every time you never left me, you know, every time that you've comforted me and cared for me in times of pain and sickness and doubt and fear, that you've been a strong and reliable force in my life. And so that just even the act of expressing, see, that was free. It was genuine. And when you do that for other people, you literally heal them.
Right.
You literally heal them. And you could do that even in your own state of just rock bottomness.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so is this not the way though that God intended it? This is the way. This is the way he intended it. All I'm doing is qualifying it with, you know, brain scans, mm-hmm. and lab tests. Right. You know what I mean? And, you know, pulse oximeter, pulse readings. Oximeter readings, yeah. Right? But in actuality, this is what the Lord knew,
yeah.
That when he told us to do this, that it would literally heal and preserve us. God's word, I always like to say, is a preservative.
Mm-hmm.
You follow mm-hmm. it, you live longer.
Yeah.
You live better. Yeah. You know? But there is a method, just like how, you know, many times when we are grateful, when God does something for us, oftentimes, not every time, but mm-hmm. oftentimes, there is a human conduit.
Mm-hmm.
There is a human conduit that is involved.
This is true.
Right? And this is how he made us to be. We give thanks. We receive thanks. We show gratitude to one another. We show gratitude to him. And we have tons of expressions of gratitude
mm-hmm.
in the Christian faith. We're not lacking in any.
Yeah. So you have worship, you have prayer, you have all these different avenues for, you know, you have volunteerism. There's a lot of different ways that you kind of go through that process.
Right.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI at Top of the Hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram Movement continues. Call us today at 242-321-145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, Top of the Hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring, compassionate, complete.
Discover the ultimate in personalized health care with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 242-8164-OPP, 4667, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus, where your health comes first.
Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
You know, it's interesting that you start to mention some of the ways that you can actually practice gratitude, because I think for something like this, a conversation like this, an episode like this, giving people some practical tips, I think is going to be helpful, because, you know, it's one thing to say, you know, it's science-backed, it's faith-based, these are all, you know, this is all rooted in science and in scripture, but now let's move into the practical side.
Like,
how do you do this? So, you know, if you were to recommend a gratitude toolkit, for lack of a better phrase, right, that's faithful to scripture, but also backed by what we've seen in the science, what would be in that gratitude toolkit?
Okay. So we could take a quick walk through just the basics of what the research has said over the years works okay. as a gratitude practice, right?
Okay.
Like different researchers looked for different, they studied different avenues of which to express gratitude
mm-hmm.
and see like exactly what parts of us are impacted. And so you're going to find like different protocols online in practice and wellness practices mm-hmm. for expressing gratitude. As believers, we have like an upper hand because like most of everything that is in the literature, we do on a Sunday.
Right.
And if you take it more than on a Sunday, like you actually cultivate this whole thing for yourself mm-hmm. at home, you'll find that you're actually aligning with scripture, but you're also aligning with what the science says works. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so let's look at the aspects of what would be a ultimate
the Christ-centered ultimate
gratitude practice. If I had to try and put together like the different aspects of what the research says. Okay, right?
Fair enough.
So
I feel like we need to have like special build up music for this now. We need the drum roll.
Okay. So some of the research, especially ones by that UC Berkeley,
mm-hmm.
right, structured gratitude writing was shown to be beneficial. And mm-hmm. we all know, most of us, especially those in our body and soul group,
mm-hmm. at
church, where we're currently doing a gratitude challenge mm-hmm. right now. Challenge is that by the end of the month of November, you needed to list as much things you're grateful for.
One for each year of your life. One
for each year.
Sorry for the older people in the group.
Really sorry. Okay. But basically, the three main components, I would say, before I break them down, sure. is you want to write.
Mm-hmm.
Writing needs to be in there somewhere.
Fair.
If you can write, write.
Okay.
There also needs to be a narrative. The more recent studies are showing that there is a powerful impact when your gratitude is rooted in some sort of narrative.
Mm-hmm. A story.
Okay? Some sort of story. Mm-hmm. All right. And then there needs to be an expression.
Okay.
Of that gratitude. So if I had to summarize it all, I would say keep those three things in mind.
Writing, narrative,
expression. So let's start with structured gratitude writing. So this is where I teach about how to make a gratitude journal. Obviously, mm-hmm. it can be as simple as those, hey, three things I'm grateful for before mm-hmm. I go to bed. Because
mm-hmm.
the real caveat about gratitude practices is they have to be authentic. Like you cannot fake it. If your body knows that you're lying.
Mm-hmm.
It knows.
I think that's an important note, because I think sometimes what happens is something gets popular, right? You see it talked about in a lot of different spaces by a lot of popular, like whether it's podcasters, YouTubers, whatever it is, and it becomes like this trend, you know? But then if it's not authentic, then it's not. What I'm understanding from what you're saying is if it's not authentic, then it's not going to actually work. It's not going to have the benefit. No, it's not going to work. So, right. So you can't just say, you know, I'm happy that I'm grateful for my car that, you know, has a half a tire, the muffler hanging off. It knows
you're lying.
And you're like, but you're saying it through gritted teeth. And you're like, I hate this car, but I'm grateful for it though. Right. You can't really do that and expect it because your mind is going to be like, you lying.
Yep. And so it knows. So you can start off easy, like three good things, letters of gratitude to God. I like to do that.
Mm-hmm. It's an easy place to start.
Letters of gratitude to a loved one,
mm-hmm.
someone that really impacted your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so these types of gratitude journaling have been shown to have the effect.
Okay.
And so those are some of the older studies, tried and true. Now let's get into the newer studies that show like how your heart rate and brain, you know, syncs up
mm-hmm.
and has notable changes for the better in the face of gratitude, right? That favors the idea that adding a narrative to your gratitude practice is mm-hmm. going to supercharge it.
Okay.
Okay. And so in seeing those studies, you can't really unsee them now. you have persons that have made like protocols, gratitude protocols that include like this narrative base.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Huberman who mm-hmm. made his own, gratitude practice, incorporating these new studies based on the power of a narrative. But if you want to engage those pro-social circuits, those things that are going to help you be motivated to do kind things, you know, mm-hmm. enjoy life, experience gratitude, you know, be generous, things like that, really, really move the brain and the heart, you're going to have to put it into context. Now, as a Christian, right, this is so easy for us. Like, we don't have to reach deep for this, okay? As a non-Christian, you got to get a little creative. Mm-hmm. But as a Christian, you know, we have a constant narrative that our Savior literally died for us, mm-hmm. okay? Put our sin on himself. Mm-hmm. Crucified it. Gives us eternal life. Gives us purpose. Give us the Holy Spirit to speak to us all the time. Mm-hmm. Provides us access to things like healing.
That we have so much to be grateful for.
Right. And then we have like a whole Bible of stories. Mm-hmm. And which is really one story, but so much examples.
Right.
Pointing to the same ultimate story there. Right. Blessed hope. But then on top of that, let's say you actually engage with other believers, like the real ones, mm-hmm. which some things. Mm-hmm. Okay. They have stories of overcoming. Mm-hmm. Automatically now, you have so much options to root your gratitude in.
Yeah.
This could be the testimony of others, mm-hmm. your own personal testimony. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The Bible. So think about, as a Christian, we shouldn't be lacking in gratitude. We have it. We have a worldview and a context and a narrative that we view everything through.
Right. It really should be all around us at all times. I mean, I think this is why, you know, I've seen churches do this where they have like a special service where it's just testimonies. You just have people in the church come up and just share their testimonies about what God has done in their lives, right? And I think, like you said, there's so many natural opportunities in the Christian faith to express gratitude, because it should be a core part of how we operate anyway.
Right. Right. And so now let's get into that part. Remember that expression part? We said mm-hmm. writing, we said narrative, and now about the expression. Right? Mm-hmm. This was that study where they were talking about, you know, the women who were giving support to others.
Yes.
Right. Okay. And they found that they were able to decrease their amygdala activity mm-hmm. and their threat signaling, as well as their inflammatory cytokines. If you want that effect, you find yourself, you know, defensive, you know, always perceiving a threat mm-hmm. somewhere. You're anxious. You really want to help that part out, right? You're going to want to express. You're going to want to express, because there's evidence to show that, you know, yes, I could. I write it down, and this really helps me. This really gives me, you know, those changes that we talked about earlier. You can have it rooted in a narrative and really become motivated. You know what I mean? Really start to shift behaviors. But when you want to just be peaceful in your own body, man, after you've been through a lot, you're going to want to push mm-hmm. to express the gratitude. And as a Christian, we have countless opportunities for service. Of course, you could just start by serving within your own family, mm-hmm. right? You know, but what if we don't have a family?
Right.
Like, what if we live alone, right? You could go to church, you could go to a nonprofit, you know what I mean? Organization, you can deliver that thank you letter of gratitude, you can give. And then you want to figure out a way to put it all together. I'm a worship team girly. Mm-hmm. So when I'm up there worshiping, I am literally giving gratitude to God. Just in the words, I'm expressing it. I'm singing. I'm moving my body. Like, I know that it's an act of service. Mm-hmm. I know that it's an act of worship. I know that it's going to benefit me. I know that I'm worshiping my God. I know that the congregation can be engaged in worship. And so basically, if, let's say, I had to say a quick practice, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say you could do this 3 times a week, because 3 times a week is beneficial.
Okay.
Now, this is my version. You're going to find that people that you can enact these, you can get those, the benefits of a gratitude practice in little as 60 seconds,
okay.
Especially if your narrative is strong.
Mm-hmm.
But like you, this is a version where we're getting all the things that I talked about just now.
Okay.
So you can start with a deep breathing. I like that. Let's get our parasympathetic. Mm-hmm. Let's calm down.
Breath work.
Yeah. But let's do that in the form of a breath prayer.
Mm.
But let's do that in the form of a breath prayer that's relevant to what I'm going through right now. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Exhale longer than the inhale, right? Okay, so let's do that for about 4 to 6 minutes. Then let's choose our narrative. What's going to be the story? Is it a testimony? Mm-hmm. Is it, you know, going back, like, I ain't got nobody to thank right now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to the word or back to another time. But I need my narrative in which to give thanks. I want to visualize the details of what happened, like what it cost the giver who really gave for me to experience that gratitude and really feel what they did for me.
Yeah.
Or for that other person. You see what I'm saying? Because you can observe this or you can experience this, right? But you need to root it in that sound narrative. And like I say, our faith gives us an easy place to do it with. So you're going to meditate. You're going to visualize that. Then you're going to write down, right? You're going to write down at least 3 to 5 things that you are genuinely grateful for today in this state. Mm-hmm. It's in the context of the narrative. Great. Okay. All right. Then you're going to do something. You're going to do an action.
Mm-hmm.
So whether that you could send, I'm talking about like even a WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Okay. To somebody of gratitude, you can give, you can go ahead and, you know, give a letter or an act of service out of a place of gratitude. And you mean it. Okay. You're authentic. And then something to engage all the parts of you. So whether it's like worship, singing, dancing, you know, another thing like giving, it's an act of worship again, sharing your testimony. But doing these things, you will cover all your bases and you will have a maximum benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if you have to start with just 3 things, understand?
Just start there.
Just start there.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things with this conversation is always just even if you just start somewhere.
It has an effect.
Yeah.
Just be genuine.
Yeah.
And consistent because you have to repeat it.
Yeah. You know, I want to quickly ask you this question as we kind of move into our wrap up. You know, research shows that gratitude strengthens relationships and community. How can churches, small groups, and our families build a culture of gratitude beyond just saying thank you occasionally?
I would say, for one, the church is built to exude
gratitude. Mm-hmm.
So I just have to ask that whatever we do, be genuine.
Mm.
If you're going to give, be genuine. If you're going to go worship,
be genuine.
Be genuine. If you're going to serve in a ministry, be genuine.
Yeah.
It's going to impact the person. Also, be grateful to the people that serve.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, we can exchange this thing.
Yeah.
Right? So, yes, I'm going to be genuine when I'm doing everything, when I'm worshiping. Because all of these things are going to, you know, when I teach someone else, when I worship, when I give. See, all of these are expressions, right? Of course, we do our journaling and stuff at home.
Mm-hmm.
But as a church, if we all showed up genuine,
yeah,
it's almost like we cover this.
Naturally.
Especially if you're the type of person who goes to church 2 times a week, 3 times a week. You know what I'm saying? You are covering the bases already based on just obeying the word.
Yeah.
Right? Without knowing all the stuff I just said.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we show up genuine, if we actually give, like, you know, we thank God genuinely, even in front of others, that's an observed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If we're genuine, we're doing it.
Yeah.
Okay? And if we're thanking others, we're literally giving it out.
Yeah. So you got it covered.
We got it covered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, people sometimes hear the word be grateful and feel dismissed. Like their pain or their circumstance that they're going through is being minimized, or that they must ignore whatever injustice it is that they may be feeling at that given time, right? What are some common misconceptions about gratitude that you want to correct?
I think I would say common misconceptions is that it's I know it's kind of wishy-washy. It's just mystical.
Right.
It's just spiritual only, and you don't even know what it does. You know, like, those are the misconceptions that I tried to clear up this whole time.
Yeah, because right? I think people might think it's like, it just sounds flighty.
Flighty, like, I have high blood pressure, and now I'm going to be grateful.
Right.
Yes, if you have high blood pressure.
But the science is there.
You should be grateful. Yes, you have an inflammatory condition of any kind. You should be grateful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you have a psychological issues, you know, with depression, anxiety, you know, you're always, your fight or flight is always activated. You have chronic stress. This is going to help you.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's been proven to help many others, which is why people spend time and money researching it.
Yeah.
And developing protocols.
Yeah.
If they're doing it out in the world.
Yeah. When you're doing that level of research, that means there's something there. There's a thread that you've pulled on, and you know that you just want to verify. You want to quantify and qualify that this thing is true, it works, and it has these benefits.
Right. And that's a misconception for a lot of Christian practices, that it is spiritually beneficial.
Only.
I can guarantee you.
The data is there.
The data is going to be there.
Yeah.
That it impacts you across all spheres.
Mm-hmm. I think for our listeners who may be on the more intellectual side, perhaps we could drop the links in the description to some of the research if they want to go and dive into it themselves.
I love that.
Because it is interesting. It is interesting if you're into that kind of thing. All right. So let's move into wrapping up, because we are almost out of time. You know, if our listeners did one simple gratitude practice for just 7 days, and you mentioned, like, just to write down the three things, what would you challenge them to try? And then what should they pay attention to? And maybe this is probably the more important part of this question. While trying.
I would say pay attention to if you're faking, because it's not going to work. And I would start small with a gratitude list. Work up to the narrative thing.
Yeah.
Okay. But start with a gratitude list and then give. Please express.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to start somewhere.
Right. Okay. And then
write and express.
Right. So our last question then would be, you know, for the person who's listening who feels overwhelmed, maybe even a little bit numb, and I guess generally doesn't feel grateful at all right now. Like, they feel like there's nothing in their life to be grateful for. What word of encouragement would you leave them with about starting where they are?
Wherever you choose, any day that you wake up and decide, I'm going to do the smallest thing to move towards improving my situation, for those that improve, that need to improve it, accepting my situation, anything that you can do helps. Okay, so don't think that anything is too small. Writing three things you're grateful for tomorrow is not too small. No, you didn't change your whole diet. No, you didn't start the whole workout plan yet. You know, no, you might not be 100% compliant with all your medications today. But look at how you did something
right,
different than how you did yesterday. And give yourself grace in the journey. Be support, like, literally praise your own self for the small win.
Okay.
Fair enough. And use that as motivation to continue. Small habits stack up to make very big changes. So do not be discouraged. No place is too small to start. No area is too silly to start in.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Atomic Habits would be a good read for backing up that particular point. So on the way out, very quickly, one thing that you're grateful for in this season.
Purpose. It's a purposeful season for me. Yeah.
That's good.
I'm grateful for purpose.
Okay. Awesome. So I want to thank you, Dr. Paige Burrows, wife extraordinaire, for joining us again on this episode of Vital Voices. I think this is a very powerful episode, a lot of really good information. And I hope our listeners get to take away some really salient points that they can go and move into practice. So thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us.
And I really enjoyed this. This was fun.
Awesome. So that brings us to the end of today's episode of Vital Voices. We've heard how gratitude is more than a feeling. It's a practice, it's a prescription, and for the believer, it's an act of worship that can calm the nervous system, support the heart and immune system, strengthen our relationships, and anchor our minds in hope. A huge thank you to Dr. Paige Burrows for sharing her story, her expertise, and her heart for whole person health. Thank you for listening, for reflecting, and for being willing to take even one small step toward a more grateful, grounded life. If this episode encouraged you, share it with a friend, a family member, or someone in your church or wellness community who might need this reminder today. You can also follow and subscribe so you don't miss future conversations. Until next time, stay informed, stay connected, stay well, and stay tuned for the next Vital Voice.
We'd like to thank today's sponsors, Oak Tree Medical Center and Wellspring Lifestyle Group.
Did you miss a part of today's show? You can catch this episode and all Vital Voices episodes online at youtube.com/@VitalVoices242. See you next week as we sit down with another Vital Voice.
Vital Voices.